So modulations, remember what this means. This modulation is how you get information that can be variable on top of a signal that is based on something that is unvarying. So if we talk about radio frequencies, for example, when we were talking last time, having a radio broadcast at a particular frequency, how does the information, like music, we're now just talking in, we're back in the analog world for the moment. I'm not talking about digital modulation. So that's the two historically interesting and commercially viable still today radio modulation techniques are called frequency modulation and amplitude modulation, and they're very, very simple. If you know, if here's the radio, here's a electromagnetic radiation at a particular frequency, whatever it is on your radio dial, and you've got some sound wave like this that you want to represent. So that's the actual variations in the tone of the sound. You can modify this by keeping the frequency exactly the same, but changing the amplitude up when you want to represent the signal that's high, and down where you want to represent signal that's relatively low. So you change the excursion up and down, the amplitude of the wave, depending on what the information is you're trying to encode underneath. So this was the first technique that was used to when radio moved from just having nothing but kind of Morse code, on and off as ways of carrying information, to carrying actual variable sounds. Frequency modulation does exactly what you think it does. There's an underlying carrier frequency. This is the same sound wave that we're imagining in the red, and you just make the frequency a little lower where the signal is low, and make the frequency a little higher where the signal is high, but don't vary the amplitude at all. Okay, and so the reason why AM radios and FM radios are different, or why the AM bands and FM bands are different, is because they use an entirely different, encoding method for recording what the sound signal is. Now, and this was a technology that developed later. So just a few words about problems with AM and FM radio, and the sort of lead us into the direction of why you might want to go digital instead. Higher amplitude corresponds to higher power. That's not surprising. You have a very low amplitude, that would sort of roughly correspond to low power radio transmission. There's the actual mathematical formula. I've got it on the slide. It's sort of root mean square power. It doesn't matter. It's just not in direct proportion, but it varies, in the same direction: higher amplitude, higher power, and so on. And the result is that, if you have an AM broadcast and it goes a great distance, some parts of the signal, the softer parts of the signal, drop out and become undetectable by the radio receiver before the stronger parts of the signal do. So this actually means that AM can actually be detected over very long distances, but it's for a different reason. It tends to fade. I don't know if you've ever listened to AM radio out in the wide open spaces, driving your car or something like that. It can be, you know, it fades, you know, the signal gets weaker and weaker, and you can hear it getting weaker and weaker, but at the same time, it actually travels great distances because under the right circumstances, it'll actually go around the curvature of the Earth because it bounces off a layer of the atmosphere called the ionosphere. And it also kind of spreads around buildings through a diffraction process. I won't detail this. You know, whereas FM, just because of the, because it's all at a much higher frequency part of the electromagnetic spectrum, those radio waves have different properties. They don't bounce off the ionosphere, and they actually don't go through mountains either, whereas the AM signals won't go around, they will actually spread around mountains. The FM signals tend to get blocked by buildings or mountains, and that accounts for poor reception in cities and for the fact that when you sometimes go over a hill, you'll just very abruptly lose an FM station, whereas you will lose an AM station much more gradually. And it's not the modulation technique. In other words, it's just the frequencies, the low AM being much lower frequencies than FM broadcasts, are why these two behaviors, why they behave differently as you travel around. And, you know, so there are problems in cities with FM, which we've talked about, you know, and you can see maps like this if you go look, which are actually, these are shadow diagrams. These show you, this is an area around Hanover, New Hampshire, and this diagram shows you if you had a transmitter here, you know, where the shadows would be and where the quality would degrade or become completely, completely inaudible. All right, so that's sort of that's the AM and FM history. Now, anybody have an HD radio? No, nobody has an HD radio. I don't know if this technology is really anybody's going to actually buy it. But so you can buy these HDs, these so-called HD radios, which are named that way to make you think that they're like high definition radios, like high definition television. It's not actually what that means. They just kind of took those two letters. It's a trade name, and you remember we said that a radio station occupies a frequency band, right? It's like a 10 kilohertz band in AM, and it's a 200 kilohertz band in for FM. So what they actually do is they broadcast a separate digital signal, a little bit off the center of where the AM or FM broadcast is taking place, and they use the guard band or the area around the principal band to give a low power digital signal that's so weak that it doesn't interfere. The analog receiver doesn't get confused by it. But a sensitive digital receiver can pick it up and unscramble it, and you get sort of squeeze an extra radio station or two into the part of the spectrum that's allocated to a single radio station. So I hear them advertised. I don't know anybody who's ever bought one either, but that's what they're doing.